702.
The Love Connection.
Susan Greger-Holland is my guest. She is a family and parenting coach. She joins me now on the line. Susan, thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us. Really, really appreciate your time.
Absolutely, pleasure, Aubrey. Nice to be on the show.
So here's the thing. I mean, a baby is born. We're supposed to be all gaga about this. In fact, in most cases, there is a deeper sort of feeling of closeness because we're now going to be sharing our bundle of joy. But it's not always the case, is it?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. It's a huge, sometimes a huge shock to a couple. Also very much depending on the birth. Sometimes the birth was traumatic, sometimes there were complications, which are things that a couple can't foresee. So some families, new couples, start off on a rough road already, and that throws them. So yes, having a newborn baby is not always a bed of roses. Sometimes it's just a bed of thorns. And parents need to be aware, and as much as you think you are aware and you'll know exactly what's coming, you don't actually. So it's very hard on couples, on both parties.
Distill it for me. Really bring it down to why, in the presence of this beautiful newborn who's supposed to melt our hearts, what are the reasons why there'd be a problem in the relationship?
Well,
and is it, sorry, Susan, my apologies. Yeah. And is it fair to say that it's because of the emergence of the newborn baby?
It's everything that comes with a newborn baby. It's not necessarily just a newborn baby. And sometimes having a newborn baby brings up issues that were there already.
Yeah,
they're just heightened now. So we can't always say that it's because of the baby that the relationship is crumbling. Sometimes the relationship was already crumbling. So that's one factor. The other factor is, you know, many changes happen for a couple, and not only the woman, I mean, you know, the mom, her body has changed mm-hmm. over 9 months, and now her body, there isn't another life in her body, but now her body's got to find its equilibrium again. So there's a whole hormonal change that happens that, you know, even me as a new mom, I didn't know such a thing as the 3-day blues that happened afterwards.
What is the 3-day blues?
So the 3-day blues is when suddenly, you know, after the euphoria of having a baby, the hormones then start to kick in and start to recalibrate themselves, which is a long process. And suddenly the mom is depressed. She's tearful. She doesn't know what she's doing. And there's suddenly this immense sadness that sometimes happens. And some moms come out of it and some moms don't.
Wow.
You know, so you have your postnatal depression, which kicks in. So a whole bunch of stuff is happening to a woman. And you know, we think as a couple, you know, they think, oh, you're going to have a baby and you'll know exactly what to do. Us women do not know exactly what to do. Sure. We are as clueless as the fathers. So we seek outside guidance, you know, grannies, mommies, and that sort of thing. But there's this huge shift, and suddenly you're presented with this little creature that is completely and utterly dependent on you. And sometimes that responsibility hits dads in a huge way, huge way. And sometimes the family, you know, they're so concerned about the mom that we sometimes neglect the dad. And he's sort of just pushed aside. So that could be one thing. The dad can feel rejected or dejected.
Okay.
You know, and depending on the baby, I had a very colicky, my first baby was very colicky. She didn't sleep. And she just wanted me. She just instinctively wanted me. I'm the only one who could feed her.
Yeah.
So, you know, that brings a sort of a gap between mom and dad, because now suddenly you have this other little creature that is demanding all of your attention. All of it. Not only your attention, but your body, everything.
Yeah.
So a woman is not completely herself once a baby is born.
Hmm.
And a dad misses that, and he doesn't understand that. And also remember, mom has formed her bond with her baby over 9 months. And a dad hasn't. Yes, he's felt the tummy and hurt, but he hasn't bonded yet. And that's why invariably when the first baby is born, the baby's face actually looks a bit like dad.
Mm.
your firstborn often looks like dad.
Mm.
And it's because the dad has to recognize himself in this little baby. And once he recognizes himself, he goes, oh, okay, this is me.
So is that nature's way of sort of trying to appease dad, who is going to go through the fact that mom might not be giving him the kind of attention that he would get under normal circumstances for a number of reasons, as you've already pointed out, that her body is going through some changes. There's the 3-day gaga feeling or caca feeling. And there's all of that kind of stuff. So you're saying that nature's way of sort of saying, dude, chill, is to make the dad see himself in the baby.
Yes. And the other thing is, you know, dads, I mean, I have a friend who's just very dear to me, and he has said, you know, dads like children when they become human. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, well, when they can communicate, when they can interact.
Yes.
I mean, dads are fun. Dads like to play. Dads like to interact. And suddenly you have this little baby who does nothing, doesn't interact.
Yeah.
So dad's bonding often kicks in a lot stronger when baby can smile, when baby recognizes daddy, you know, those sorts of things. So daddy's bonding takes a lot longer than a mom's bonding.
Yes.
And not many parents are aware of that. So family members expect daddy to bond straight away, and daddy's like, but the baby's not doing anything. What must I do? I don't know what to do. And baby's so small, so sometimes dads are very scared that they're going to hurt the baby, that they're going to injure it. So there are lots of factors. Then plus you get on top of that the lack of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could sleep late on Sunday. You could have those lazy mornings. Suddenly that is gone. You know, baby's waking up too, if baby's sleeping at all. So there's very much a presence of another human being who isn't contributing anything, but is demanding everything.
And these, I imagine, Susan, aren't things that we say overtly, right? I mean, it's not expected of of a dad or a mom to be saying the kinds of things that you are saying so candidly, because society doesn't allow us to be as candid and as honest about what's going on in the perhaps not so romantic realities of this threesome.
Yes, because then would we have children? If we knew about the financial and we knew about how it could ruin relationships, would we have children? You know, it's society wanting to be the Facebook, Instagram image. And we have to be real, because parenting is hard, and bringing a new baby and settling and finding a new routine, finding who you are, because mom and dad do change. You change fundamentally on a level who you are. You know, and I heard a lovely comment about how a mom's bonding and relationship with a child is a mom encompasses her child. Her arms are always around her child, and the baby's always looking face to face. And that's how it is for life, you know. And a dad, they have the same, but at some point the dad turns the baby around and says, look at the world. And that's how dads bond. So there's very different relationships between a child and their dad and a mom and their baby. And you have to adjust like anything in a relationship. There are times where the relationship has to adjust. And it's where couples can't make that adjustment, where the cracks form.
Give us a call, 011-883-0702. My guest is Susan Gregor Harlan. She is family and parenting coach. We're talking about the romantic relationship of a couple that seems to dim once a newborn baby is born in that relationship. These are things that we don't always say openly, and there may be some shame attached to coming on air and saying, you know what, I recognize those feelings and I feel them and I don't like what's happening to my relationship since my baby is born. But I want to say that this is a safe space. There's no judgment here. Part of the way by which we can deal with issues of this nature is by talking to them. And Susan has graciously agreed to talk to us about this, I imagine, difficult situation. You are expected, I suppose, by society and the way that we are all socialized, that when there's a newborn baby, everybody's goo-goo, gaga, and so forth. Nobody talks about the fact that there is that postpartum depression. There is the changing of the physiology of the mom. Perhaps there's not enough attention given to dad sexually. Would that be a thing, Susan?
Huge. That's a massive thing. And you know, men get connection by intimacy.
Yep.
First the physical, then the emotional. And women are the opposite. We need the emotional before we can do the physical. Now, a woman's emotional has been thrown upside down. Upside down.
Yeah.
And also, her body is not what it was. You know, her body's not her own. Still not yet. It hasn't been for 9 months, and now it's still not her own body. So a lot of women, we don't feel attractive. We can't go from breastfeeding to suddenly feeling sexy in negligee. You know, it's hard for moms.
Yeah.
Because our baby is now always on our mind, constantly. Until we find a routine, until we find our space. And sometimes, yes, sadly, dads do get neglected, and they feel it. And it's hard for women, and it's hard for dads to understand, because dads haven't changed. The dad hasn't physically changed. You know, his hormones are going all over the show, and he still sees his wife as beautiful. You know, some dads think, wow, she's done this incredible miracle, and actually the wives appear even more stunning to them. But the wife doesn't feel that. In herself, she doesn't feel that. So, yes, intimacy is a huge factor, huge.
Give me a call, 011-883-0702. Have you gone through this kind of reality as a couple? How did you get through it? Did you speak as candidly as we are about it at this moment? Give us a call. What was the outcome of that kind of conversation? I'd be interested to hear from you. Has your relationship become stronger as a result of that challenge? Yeah. Does that happen, Susan? I mean, if there's a way of finding some sort of resolution before we get to that resolution, does it strengthen the relationship?
Absolutely. Some couples, you know, they as you said, become so much stronger. Some men are natural dads. It just comes naturally. Like, some moms are natural moms, others aren't. It just comes so naturally to some dads, and they embrace it. And they, you know, I've had some couples where the mother has said, sure, I've had to ask my husband to actually just give me back the baby, because he just won't give it back. You know, so there are times like that, but it is communication, and it's knowing your partner. And I often say, you know, when a baby is born, the mom's focus is the baby. The dad's focus should be become the mom, because he now needs to be her strength.
Yes.
He now needs to, as much as she's swaddling her baby, he needs to swaddle her.
Yo. 011-883-0702. Give me a call. How did you guys handle that? When the baby was born, did you swaddle mom? Did you give mom the attention that she needs in order for her to be able to give baby the attention that she needs? Yeah. And what about those natural born dads? Those guys that just fall into it. And I see a lot of it, Susan. I see a lot of it these days, where guys are just walking around the mall with the baby. Something you didn't see too long ago, right? But
no.
You see it quite often now these days, where guys are really involved. They're really nurturing. Is there a change in the way guys are thinking about?
There is. Yeah? I'm definitely seeing that. I'm seeing some great dads out there. Dads who are really hands-on. Dads who want to participate. Dads who, you know, don't mind that they're not quite human yet. and want to really be involved. And it's wonderful. It's really fantastic. I wish there was more of them, and less absent dads, and more present dads like the ones that we are seeing.
So give me a call, 011-883-0702. Is that a reality that you faced, that your relationship hit some rocky ground when baby was born? How did you handle it? Yeah. And of course, maybe the baby wasn't fully human yet. And so you, You didn't know how to sort of relate to the baby. But what about the fact that the intimacy, the sexual contact between you and your partner began to wane a little bit because she was dealing with that reality? Her body was being mom's body instead of the sexy girl that you met, or whatever the case may be. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts about that. Let's talk about how we find resolution in that situation, Susan, when baby is born and all of the realities that you've just pointed to us are present that may cause for a rift. How do we find resolution? How do we bring each other back into a deeper relationship with that it now involves the three of us? And maybe there are other children that are there, but I suppose the focus would be with this child and the mom and the dad.
The first thing is communication, open, honest communication. I mean, that's the basis for most relationships. And then also just to start with, what were you expecting? What was your expectation first? Because until we know what the expectation was, we don't know the level of disappointment, if there is a level of disappointment. You know, did the mom expect that, oh, her birth would go brilliantly, there'd be no problems, and then suddenly there are? And what were her expectations? And now what does she feel that those expectations weren't met or reached for whatever reason? And then the dad's expectations, what was he thinking it was going to be like? You know, we can't have a discussion until we know how the other person saw it in their mind. So that's the one thing we have to do. And then the next thing is to go, okay, this is what you expected. This is what didn't happen. But this is what did happen. Okay, so this is what did happen.
Yeah.
How do you need me to be in this situation? And how do I need you to be in this situation?
Yes.
And how do I need to be for myself in the situation first? Yeah. You know, often we'll have our, you know, have moms say, you know, I haven't even showered today. I've been up since 3 o'clock feeding my baby. I haven't even showered. I'm exhausted. Baby won't sleep. Hubby had a meeting, so I couldn't disturb him last night because he had to be fresh. And hubby goes off, he comes home, and mom's still in her pajamas. And he thinks, well, what has she done all day?
Yeah.
You know, and then he goes, but did you do this? And she's like, well, I didn't. And we also need to remember that if it's a Caesar, you know, moms aren't allowed to drive straight afterwards. So they're homebound, some moms.
Yeah.
And you're homebound with a baby you don't know what to do with, really. Yeah. And sometimes there's resentment because dad gets to go out to be in the world and mom can't, or mom doesn't. Mom's world suddenly shrinks. Maybe mom was high in her business and flying and enjoying, you know, the business world and the real world, and suddenly her world shrinks.
So are you saying to me mom can also have feelings of resentment to the baby?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As much as they wanted them. You know, there can be resentment and suddenly you've stopped my life. I was doing all these things and now I can't do them, but dad can. Dad can go and play golf for the whole of Saturday, but I can't.
I want to take a lot of calls coming through, Susan, a lot of calls, particularly from the guys, and I'm really enjoying this, but I'd also love to hear from moms. But perhaps before I take this call, would moms in a conversation like this be a little more ashamed than dads?
Be ashamed?
Yeah.
To
express the fact that they sometimes feel feelings of resentment to the baby, to the husband or the partner,
absolutely.
The male.
You know, Aubrey, as a woman, you're supposed to be this all Mother Earth, you know, and not all of us are like that. Yeah. Not all of us are, as I call them, the Nigella Bats of the world.
Yeah.
You know, we're not. And to say, oh, I'm struggling to breastfeed, or I can't get this right, or my body, there's a lot of shame. We feel a lot of guilt. And no one expresses that when a baby comes, they come with so much joy.
Yeah.
But they also come with a big suitcase of guilt that they dump. They just hand over to moms and we take it. And we feel guilty for whatever we do or we don't do.
Give me a call.
You know, for our children.
Give me a call if you're a mom and you're feeling these feelings. If you were a mom before, maybe some time ago, and children have grown, and you've grown out of these realities, and you can give some advice and insight as to what happens practically. We'd love to take your calls. My guest is Susan Greger-Harlan. She is a family and parenting coach. And we're talking about all of those difficulties that come in a relationship, a romantic relationship, once newborn baby has come into the fray. Anonymous is in Pretoria. Anonymous, good evening to you.
Yes, good day, Aubrey. How are you?
I'm very well, Anonymous. Thanks for asking. What is your contribution to the show?
All right. Thank you for the conversation and sure. your guest as well, Susan. Some powerful insights that she's airing out here. So on my side, I don't know if you can see it's a question or it's a comment or it's a concern or it's a mix of all.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, in the society that we're in, we see a lot of single, you know, or rather people parting soon after having children.
Yes.
And I do get a sense that this matter that you're talking about today is not being addressed enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you find ourselves justifying why you parted using results that would have emanated from what would have started because of the very same thing that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And you find yourself addressing symptoms and not necessarily addressing the cause
yeah.
of mm-hmm. what would have actually happened. So I do sense that is actually happening quite a lot. I'm talking from experience on my side.
Yeah.
Because it's something that I've, you know, given a thought to say, what actually resulted in this? And it, what even makes it more complex is if it's something that comes compounded with other things that one would not have dealt with earlier in life.
Yeah.
Especially with the society that we live in, certain things that, you know, our women are exposed to, you know, which I'm not going to tap into because we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
But that comes back to actually compound on those issues, which makes it even more complex. So I guess my question to our guest here, to Susan and to the listeners, you know, who are going to come in to contribute, is to say, how do we then try to address that issue as couples, as young couples, married or unmarried, whatever space that you find yourself in when you have a child, to say, to avoid parting without addressing this issue? How do you differentiate to say this could be the issue or maybe it could be other issues? How do we navigate such a space so that we are able to really get to the core of what really the issue is? Yeah,
great question, Anonymous. Much appreciated. Let me take one more call, Susan, before you respond, if you've got a notepad there to write down some of your questions. Gilbert is in Benoni. Hi, Gilbert.
Hi, Aubrey.
Yeah.
Hi, Susan.
Evening.
Thanks for taking my call, Aubrey.
Sure.
I think the previous caller actually spotted my question I had because I found myself in a same situation rather similar way as a young couple. I mean, I got married in 2020. And then we had a child, firstborn child, and then we had a child the following year, and then that's where the problem started, I think, where the communication changed, the dynamics of the relationship changed, and as a man who really wanted the relationship to work, I tried as much as I could.
Yeah.
And with little success, to the point where, like, at the moment we stay apart mm-hmm. or at separate places. And I think, also my question, as I said, I mean, would be like, how do you navigate those dynamics
yeah.
as to how do you, how can you make it, or how can you better prepare,
yeah.
For that situation before it comes to the point where I am now?
Gilbert, thanks very much for your call. Susan, Gilbert and Anonymous, how do you respond to them?
Yes, pretty similar questions, actually, if you break it down. It's one of the things that couples should talk about, and we don't. You know, we're in the honeymoon phase. We don't talk about having children. We say, oh, we'll have two, and we'll name this, and we'll name that, and we'll take them to private school. But we don't talk about the nitty-gritty, like how do you parent? How did your parents parent you? What did you like about their parenting? What did you not like about their parenting?
Yep.
You know, what did you like about your dad as a dad? You ask your husband or your partner, what did you like about your dad? Or what didn't you like about him? What would you do differently if you were a dad? You know, these are things that we have to ask. And what would happen? Let's throw it out there. What would happen if our child was born and needed medical attention? How will we cope with that? How will you cope? Have we set out a budget? Have we decided how we're going to financially manage a child? Not that you can always prepare, but you need to have these conversations. You need to have, what are you scared of? What are you scared of being a parent? Where do you think that you're going to fall short? Do you think you're going to fall short? Because some couples are petrified of being parents because they're so scared they're going to repeat what their parents did. You know, so some don't like the responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, so these are things that we have to really, really discuss, and we have to be open and honest and say it's a hearsay. It's an imagine if, because it's not here now, but we have to think in the future. I want two children. Do I want children at all? You know, some couples get together and the one doesn't want children. And the other one does. And that is never discussed.
Yeah. I want to read you some of the messages that are coming through on our WhatsApp line. The number there is 072-702-1702. Audacity to Succeed says, why do women refer to the baby that they made with a man as my baby? and he says, men get ignored all the time. I think there's you can deal with that, but it's an interesting one. It says, good evening, Rema Sango and Susan. What causes a mother to adjust exactly like you're describing dads do, as opposed to immediately? And that's from Matabo in Mohlakeng. I'm not really understanding your question, Matabo.
No, perhaps if you not could, understand it either.
If you could help us out with that. But Anonymous also write, please let me remain anonymous for now. You know, I was fortunate to be present when my daughter was born. I was unintentionally planned because she broke her sack on our way to the hospital, and I was present during childbirth. But I never changed my feelings for my wife. But my wife is subliminally in contestation with me over our daughter. Even 30 years later, it hasn't changed. We are good guys, but from time to time it comes up. Or we are good guys, but from time to time it comes up. Sometimes I feel pity for this successful lawyer because she is forced to take sides, which I find unnecessary. Okay, there's a lot of stuff there that I'm hearing there, Susan. Perhaps you could try and break down some of the stuff that's coming out.
Okay, there's quite a lot there. You know, the best thing is that when it comes to women and our babies, when they are born, because they are so vulnerable, our instinct is to protect.
Yeah.
And our instinctiveness is to be there for them immediately. And it happens in nature, you know. It happens with all animals. The baby cries, the mom is there. So we tend to, and this is where women are a bit at fault, we tend to not trust anyone except perhaps another female, like our moms. So we turn to our moms instead of perhaps turning to our husbands or our partners. And we become a little bit distrustful of everyone except maybe the one who birthed us.
Yeah.
And so that's where that sort of distrust and the sort of pushing away of dads happen, which is not fair on dads. It really isn't, because it's not of their doing. And so what I always suggest, dads, and that's why moms will say, my child, it's my child, my baby, you know, it's because we are their primary caregiver. We're their primary protector, their primary caregiver, and we take on that role. Subconsciously we do it. We don't do it consciously. We're sometimes not even aware that we're always referring to the child as my child.
Yeah.
You know, my husband also used to say, you know, my child. I always use that, my child. It's like, it's our child. Oh, yeah.
But does that not have something to do with that that bonding that happens for 9 months before the baby is born, and then, of course, the reality of the dependence that this creature has on mom, that dad can sort of take little breaks. Mom can't.
100%.
Mom can simply not take breaks. I mean, in the traditional sense, we have, or the African traditional sense, we have, and I've spoken about this in the past, but we have a reality where the family of the mother, where the mum comes from, the maternal family, is called the great family of the child, right? And then, even though we are a paternalistic sort of society, and then the family of the father is called the child's people, but the great family of the child is the mother's people, because the mother and the mother's people cannot deny the child under any circumstances. Whereas the father and the paternal family of the child can put up an argument to say, ah, this is not our child, we want a DNA test, or, you know. But the mom and the mom's family can never do that.
Yeah,
they can never do that. So I'm wondering whether the possessive pronoun, is it a pronoun, mine, in that particular instance, is not the reason for that?
It could be. I think maybe not as strongly as just that natural instinct that it's come from me, so it is mine, comes from, but very possibly. Now, I can't speak for all sort of cultures, but I do know that from what I see is that moms get this, as I said, this huge protectiveness, and in this protectiveness, they feel vulnerable as well. And that's the thing. We see these moms are strong and they're caring for it, but moms are extremely vulnerable when they have a baby. Emotionally, subconsciously, they are vulnerable. And that's why I tell dads, when a baby is born, dad focuses more on the mom and says, yes, it's her baby, but this is my family.
Yeah.
And he wraps his arm around all three of them. He's creating a cocoon for them.
Yes.
You know, and that's what moms really do need. They need the dad to now just be this big lion and go, right, I'm looking after all of you. So, mom, what do you need from me?
Instead of that competition between the two of them, dad should provide that all-embracive sort of space for mom to feel that me and my baby are yours, right?
Yes, 100%.
Right.
And that's when a dad's strength really needs to come out. That masculine strength needs to come out and he goes, right, okay, let me just create a bubble over us. And we will decide who comes in and who doesn't come in. And it's up to the mom. The mom will relay her wishes to me and I will relay the wishes to the outside world. But for now, this is us. And let us sort of get on with it.
Here's a positive, I suppose, message from Anonymous. He says, indeed, some new moms feel less attractive than before childbirth, when in many cases they actually are more voluptuous and sexier, says
100%.
Than before to their husbands, and they find it difficult to accept it even when told and assured of it, says Anonymous. That is so true. That is
absolutely
so true.
Because suddenly, as I said, you know, a husband suddenly finds his wife more attractive. And not just because of her beauty, but because what she's accomplished, what she has created. Her body is even more womanly.
Yeah. That's right. So that's what I was wanting to say, that there's something, just more womanly or feminine about a mom that is looking up. I don't even know how to explain.
Aubrey? It's because, as I said, she's vulnerable. So she is in her most feminine state, her most feminine energy. And that is attractive to a man in his most masculine energy.
Right, so he gets a chance to be big daddy and protector and all that stuff. Okay,
he absolutely does.
Wow.
And the dads who are the great dads understand that, and they acknowledge that, and they accept that role. And then the next role of daddy actually comes in.
But would you agree with me that all of these things happen at a level of awareness that isn't always logical and deliberate and well thought out and rational? It's all happening in a very fuzzy sort of place where, you know, we're all trying. Is it possible to drive away the fog and be very, very intentional and rational about it at this point?
It is if it's spoken about. But as you say, these things are never spoken about.
Yeah.
So, you know, if a couple knows that this is how the mom might feel, remember, she's going to be in her most vulnerable state. But hey, let me just tell you, my darling, that you're going to look even sexier to your husband. Isn't that something a mom can look forward to?
Sure.
You know, it just puts a different spin on everything.
Other societies, maybe let me say traditional societies, have had places and spaces where that kind of conversation happens. We've lost that in many ways, where the elderly women will sit down with young mom and say, no, expect this. This is what's going to happen. You can look forward to this. And the same for the man from the older generation. We've lost that. How do we gain all of that back? Because I think that many relationships that would perhaps suffer because baby is born, if we knew these things, if we knew that this is just part of the process, that the feelings of resentment, as much as we shouldn't, in inverted commas, be having these feelings, are necessary and they can be overcome. How do we overcome that reality in today's society? Do we just listen to 702?
I think we should. I think it should be on tap.
Absolutely.
You know, in all these prenatal classes, there should be postnatal classes.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, and one other thing I found as a parental coach is that there's all this build up to having a baby, and, you know, but after the baby's sort of first birthday, there's nothing.
And that's where we need
to get on with it.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and I honestly think as much as there should be, there's prenatal, there should be postnatal, where couples can sit and go, right, this is what we're experiencing. And you'll be amazed at how many other people go, you know what, we're feeling the same, or we're in the same boat. And how are you dealing with it? Well, we're dealing it with this. My mom's coming in and she's taking baby and we're having date night once a week, you know, or every second week. That's how, by talking. You know, and that's what used to happen, is as you say, the Gorgos used to talk to the new mom.
Yeah.
You know, the dads used to take their son aside and go, don't worry, your mom felt the same about me when you were born. It's okay, my lad. You know, you'll be okay. But there isn't that space. So as a society, we need to create that space.
And we're doing it right now, Susan Gregor-Harnon. Hey, Maria da Silva on the WhatsApp line says, hi, Aubrey, can having a baby strengthen or improve a relationship? I chose not to have a baby because I felt that I would have two responsibilities, that of my partner and that of a newborn. I felt that I was already carrying my partner without much support from his side. Do you think he would have changed to a more responsible person as a father? Asks Maria.
I think Maria knows the answer to that. I think the answer is already in her. Because there are times where it changes, but you would see changes happening already.
Yeah.
You would see changes happening in the relationship that would drive you more than to have a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right that Maria knows. I think I'm feeling the same thing. So. 011-883-0702. We've got a few more minutes with Susan Gregor-Harlan, family and parenting coach. Interesting that in this conversation, most of the contributions came from men.
Lovely.
Isn't that
lovely.
Interesting? And would you say that that has something to do with the weight of the socialization process that we all seem to be socialized under, that says mom cannot We cannot even have a conversation that wants to suggest that mom might not necessarily be happy with newborn baby's presence. Could that be?
I think it does. And I also think it also just shows that men are wanting to understand more.
Yeah.
You know, men are wanting the information. They're wanting to be involved. They're wanting to see, okay, well, how can I learn? How can I adjust? What can I do? So I think it's a sign from both sides, positively from the male side. And, yeah, a bit more, sadly, still social stigma on the other side. You know, it's just in a few years that women have been able to openly talk about postpartum.
It happens to me too.
You know, or having stillbirths or having miscarriages, you know, those things were never spoken about as women.
Yeah.
You just hush that. You know, with that now over the last few years has come to the fore. So we really need to talk about the whole aspect of having a baby. It's not just about the baby shower. It's not just about the baby reveal, gender reveal. It's not about the nursery. Those are on the peripheral of having a baby. Mm. We have to start talking about the nitty gritty of having a baby in one's life.
The raw details of the practicalities, right? Because I think we do get caught up in the romance of it all, and we think that they'll carry us through the raw details of the practicality of it all, yeah?
Yes. And sometimes, you know, dads are very practical. So dads don't understand why the nursery must be done up, you know, like Sun City. Why must it be done up so nicely?
Yeah.
So it is. We need to stop doing the Instagram discussions or the Instagram photos and start having, as you say, these raw discussions about it and being honest about it. Because it is another life that you are introducing to the world.
Susan Gregor Harlan, it was great talking to you, family and parenting coach. How do people get in touch?
They can contact me on my webpage at www.purposefulparenting.co.za, and my details are on the webpage.
You might not be aware of this, since you and I have been talking at the beginning of the hour, that you and I know each other outside of this conversation.
Really?
Really, we do.
That is fantastic.
So I'm looking at your name, Susan Gregor Harlan, and I wasn't aware of this. But one of my kids is one of your kids at school.
Oh my goodness.
It's true. So my little boy was in your class last year.
Oh my goodness.
And we had the pleasure of meeting, I think, once or twice. And as we were speaking, I recognized your voice. And that's Musiso's teacher.
There we go. Susan, that is fantastic. That's wonderful. Now you know.
Absolutely.
Now you know me
absolutely. Susan Gregor Harlan, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate that.